Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, the 2nd of March, 2010. This is hour 124 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii, in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Michael was taken to a luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and was returned with their message. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis, and it's more than a message. It is a continuous and flowing dialogue, if people would like to get involved with the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
From that dialogue, we can obtain a lot more information if you want to maintain the dialogue.
Yeah, from their flowing dialogue. Okay, well, that's really true.
Yes, there's the reason I believe that they're wanting to upscale the dialogue, you know, to bring it into more of an active dialogue, is that there's going to be and is already many questionable events that are coming to light, and there for many of us who dwell on our planet, doesn't seem quite right. The answers are available if people would want to have them answered.
Well, this past week we had that horrible earthquake in Chile, and there was a sonic crack or boom headed toward Hawaii and Japan. And Michael was involved with that because he's right out there and he's got a boat in the water.
Who's got a boat in the water?
Oh, well, you have a boat in the water, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I had to go and take it out to sea. It was very interesting because I've experienced tsunamis in my childhood that were very similar in the way they worked to the Indonesian tsunami. Long, blowing wave of energy, you know, just like a continuous tidal surge. This did not follow that. In fact, it looked like something that started back in the 80s or something around there that had a similar effect, which was not so much of a tidal surge, but rapid pulsations or tidal pulsations. As a result, there was no huge tidal surge or tsunami. Instead, there were what appeared to be rising and falling tides at about 5 minute intervals, which were somewhat regular. In any case, it was good that it didn't have all that kind of power as the Indonesian one had. Of course, its energy input was much, much smaller in terms of, you know, the Richter scale.
Well, it was right along that fault line on the western side of Chile, right on the shoreline. But you had several emails about your last words or this last recording. Paul from Canada writes, "Hi Curtis, just listen to the recording. I'm very pleased with the Celestials are getting more involved. I think we all need more of their input. I like what Michael said near the end about learning to trust the words and the images that come through into our minds. And then the prayer statement. For some time I For some time now, I find myself praying in a conventional style, but it still seems like a very one-sided conversation. The very subtle information that comes through sometimes doesn't stay long. It's like how dreams evaporate and we just can't remember them. And so I find myself repeating the same prayers again and again. Like the listener said, it's like a breath of fresh air. Thanks to you both, and to the Celestials, of course. And that's Paul, who lives near Quebec City in Canada.
Well, thank you, Paul. That sounds very good, and you'll eventually increase the dimensions of the prayer life, or the continuous relationship, which is called upon for all of us who dwell on this planet. This is the actual purpose of developing the citizenship with the rest of the universe, of really sentient beings of high order and celestial maturity. Celestial maturity being in the nature of Mota, a higher level of real love. It goes beyond our understanding of it. And it is taught to us, of course, through the very one who emanates the highest level of it, the very universe creator. And we have the great privilege of being part of that unifying factor, the universe itself. Most of all, we need not only to detach ourselves from this environment of this world, but also stay very well and fundamentally attached also. So in essence, what prayer does is it causes us to become expansive beyond the dimensions that are responsive to, you might say, gravity, and non-responsive to material gravity, but highly responsive to first source gravity, the gravity that draws us forward into knowledge and gives us the curiosity, gives us the concept of seeking out first source. And it is the even the energy that drives all material and non-material energies back toward first source, who initially emanated it all. So this is where prayer life will lead, and higher knowledge and specific information can be implanted to us, who perhaps made ourselves ready through an interactive relationship with First Source, through the divine adjuster within ourselves. Also empowered by the additional circuits of spirit sources, or the Holy Spirit, which also is highly functional right now in our domain, in our planet, and is giving all of us much more information than maybe sometimes we can even comprehend.
Well, we had several emails, which I really can't get to every one of them, about this last week with what you had to say, what the Celestials are bringing. But here's one from Paul J.S. He says, "Hello, gentlemen. Since the Celestials have opened the door to questions other than Michael's adventure on the New Jerusalem, I want to ask about a stargate that is opening in the Gulf of Aden off of Yemen. I've seen a satellite photo of the waters in the Gulf of Aden showing clouds or vapors above the water forming a circular ring. I have read on the internet that the stargate is ancient and below the surface of the water. Also, it is common knowledge that numerous warships are currently surrounding this area of water in the Gulf of Aden. Warships from almost all the military powers on this planet, even China and Japan. My question to Michael is this Stargate real? And if so, what is its purpose? Thank you, Paul J.S.
Let me align myself. Stashnagrum grahasnara kashala rakitat. Rahumshi kanandandiri arsyana karoni. Teharora kumasan shindan karandiri. Yahasindhya. It's important that you know the answer as this. It is real and is very ancient. And it is, if you would want to call it a Stargate, it is a Stargate. If you want to call it the bottomless pit, it is the bottomless pit. It is indeed functioning now, and it is not fully ajar, open, yet, as yet. But remember this, there are other forces that have been working within your world that are proving to be troublesome. I would like to address Curtis and say, Curtis, your discussion previously concerning the aspect of Harp and Fulford and earthquakes and earthquake lights may need further explanation, but it would be good background if you were to give light to what you were saying earlier.
Okay, well, we were talking about the earthquake in Chile, and there was a journalist there that a couple days ago I recorded what she said, and she said, "Well, still in bed." Well, this is Cecilia Langos, Lagos. She said, "Well, still in bed, I saw the sky changing colors. It was absolutely surreal." And she also said she thought it was going to be the end of the world. She's never seen anything like that. But there's been other plasma seen. I don't know if that's what she saw, but it sounded like it. There's been other plasma seen over the epicenter in Japan where an earthquake was just about to happen within 30 minutes. Benjamin Fulford has it on his site where it says, Benjamin Fulford versus the Harp, if you want to find it on YouTube. And you'll see plasma in the sky that was filmed just before the earthquake there. And I guess that's what you're referring to, Michael?
The earthquake lights, or the concept of Harp causing the earthquakes, is what you were mentioning.
Yes.
The concept that you're seeing right now is an opening of many forces that are not with us. What I say with us is, in this time domain in which you are right now operating in, or is coming to a point of ending. But at that point, and before that point of its ending, there will be, and there are, these things that are happening. Harp in itself is insufficient. It is amplified for the very forces that have corrupted the planet's beauty. Do you understand that your planet is truly beautiful if it wasn't for the corruption that leads it right now?
Oh, yes, this is a beautiful planet.
Indeed. your human race is a wonder and a splendor to us. Indeed, royal in nature, again, sadly corrupted. These same forces that have corrupted it are now being used to thwart it. Those that side with this planet and its corrupt forces will cling ever closer to it. Those that no longer see any value in its way are all being called right now through our channels, the channel being what is known as the Holy Spirit, to not cling to that system. What you see from your observation in the Gulf of Aden is an opening of a jailhouse, you might say. To put it simply, locked away forces are in there. But not in the concept or the way you think of things being locked away. Remember, where you are is not exactly where you believe you are. It is more than that. You're not alone. You have seen more, and you will be seeing even more. Do not become so troubled or afraid. If you become troubled or afraid, do not cling to the methods of this falling system, which must perish. Ultimately, the time is coming to a close. The deadline is nearing. And all of this planet that you call Earth, and we call Urantia, is about to be embraced by the very Creator himself once again. There will be some things that you will call cataclysms. There will be things that will be indeed fearsome. But if you run from it to cling to the system of this world, it will be difficult for us to lift you, to uplift you. Therefore, you must remain open and hear our calling. We, the celestials that pray for you, are giving your planet a call continually. Now even more, this call is going out. Do not cling to this world, not for safety. Forces are beginning to open a gateway that need to be done in order to sift and sieve out at the very end those that cling to the way that is not of our universe, and those that are fully embracing the universe of eternal life and light. Curtis, this is a a message that I just channeled from one of our celestial friends who are of the 12 that I met. He didn't tell me his name, but he is concerned, very concerned, that this progress continued to make headway, and that there are observations that have been made and that have been defined. The observations, of course, from ourselves, and the definitions and specific information is from celestial friends helping us to understand. Apparently, there is even a need for some what seems to be evil things or scary things happening.
You say there's a need for that?
Yeah, otherwise, I guess if you put things in a sieve, and sand in a sieve or whatever, you just leave it there, just sort of sit there. You sort of shake things around and things kind of get filtered through, right?
Right.
Yeah. I guess it's one of the instructions I had was try to put things in as simple a way and as down to earth as possible. And they meant it literally down to earth or related to our planet, even colloquialisms or ideals or what idea.
Well, they said through you that the deadline is nearing, about to be erased.
Yeah, maybe the deadline might be 2012 or maybe something else, but it is part of the final sentencing of a lot of these fallen beings who have decided to try to prove their point.
They're trying, you mean the Earth beings trying to prove their point?
It's part of those who have aligned themselves with these fallen powers that be that are still upon the Earth. They really don't have any energy except to influence, you know, have powers except to influence the minds of men, giving them ideas. But there apparently is even more that's happening. Apparently that Gulf of Aden observation is a gateway that is you're watching a keying or an unkeying or an unlocking of this which needs to be done.
Michael, you also said that they suggested do not cling to this world.
Yeah, well, it's easy to do, right? Because we live here.
Yeah, we've always
been here. We live
here,
and if we cling to the world, well, where else do we go to? And that's why they said they have upstepped the communication lines of the lines of communication via the Holy Spirit or the Service Spirit. The Service Spirit is one that gives direction and information to someone, and it helps us attune ourselves sometimes even more toward the adjuster's involvement in our lives. And then beyond that, there's higher maturity that will be attained. But one of the most important things is being able to we shouldn't really trust it. When it comes right down to it, it's, you know, the powers that be, they screwed them up as far as the bankers and the financiers and messed up the world. They're trying to play, you know, games with the entire planet, ruling the planet. Yeah.
Keeping us all slaves.
Exactly. Well, I guess a good definition, keeping us all slaves.
Well, without with all the free energy that they're hiding from us, we do nothing but work so hard to create our living environments that we could all be living like kings if we had.
Well, yeah, Tesla was about to give us free energy, and because he couldn't put a meter on it, destroyed Tesla.
Yeah.
Well, in the similar sense, there is even these powers that be were human, but inspired by forces that you were, you know, basically the ones who started a system very long ago. This goes back, I guess, to that vision which was given to me, you know, years ago, in the one about being seen in this cylinder or tank.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and that all of the spokes of energy or radiation coming out from a central, what looked like profile of a coin, but out on the walls of the inner part of the tank, or was like sandstone and hieroglyphics of all kinds of both ancient as well as modern industry. And all of that was shown to me as coming to an end. And indeed, things are headed quickly that way. But in concert with that also is this newer next wave of events, which is to do with our planet's fracturing and instability, some of which is normal and some of which is being amplified by forces that are sometimes blamed on HAARP and sometimes actually amplified by some of these other guys who are right now trying to unlock their way out of their mess. Very ancient.
Keep going, Michael. I've got someone at the door. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So the very ancient jailhouse, you might say. And it comes from knowledge that is, I believe, has been uncovered in some of the ancient stone writing in Iraq, which has been looted and hidden now. But in any case, we're seeing some very strange things that are repeating themselves, like these lights over earthquake zones, which have been observed before, but now even more. Are they showing a certain level of alignment? Curtis was mentioning how the earthquakes were approximately the same depth, about six or so miles down.
6.21 miles.
Earthquakes which are natural that find themselves much deeper, and these are all seemingly associated with these earthquake lights seeming to be within the same depth. However, what I have been shown was it's not only in the hands of those who have terrestrial energy transmitters like HAARP or others, but there's even others that are using that to amplify it, and these others are not of the planet. Curtis, you there?
Yes, I am. Sorry, I had a friend stopped over. You said, something that's rather frightening. You said the next wave of events are planet fracturing. Is that what
you
said?
Well, there are many ways to think about fracturing, but
you mean
destabilizing is another term.
All right.
Which is, of course, happening right now, but easily observable. But it's not going to stay at, this is actually going to progress a little bit more and more. And the most important thing is to realize that these things need to come about and primarily for the sieving process, the weeding out or the sorting to take place.
Mm-hmm. And how about the listeners, the type of people who have been listening to you for
Any of
many
those
hours.
Who are listening to me cannot be listening to me out of pure entertainment, because I'm not an entertainer.
Right.
And it is something that is keyed on by the Holy Spirit. It kind of like pushes us toward truth, trying to find the truth behind the situation and looking for even more, even looking for God or the answers, more and more answers. These are considered good. These are considered true. These are considered pure. But the who are aligned to the world system, and the world system which tries to blind the purpose of life from the everyday human being and align them with the rewards of material prosperity, supposedly, material wealth, supposedly, whatever things that detract from the ultimate purpose, which is for us to ascend and to become truly eternal beings that have divine destiny. In other words, truly to be sons and children of God, growing and maturing and filling this universe with an infinite dimension of possibilities and differences. You know, not a rubber stamp, stamped out breed of angels or something like that. No, we're seeing much, much more precious than that, much more individual than that. The individuals are so important. That's why individuals are very important in their life. The individual character, the individual personalities, and differences, but they all must fall within at least the alignment of universe governance, which finds itself in the basis of true love. True and high and divine love, or the holographic rule that writes itself and embodies itself into the very being that we are. So this is the ultimate purpose, and if anything blinds us from that, then it really is a big problem. And this sometimes cannot be sorted through, and just simply needs to be just, you know, put aside, and the precious ones kept. You know what I mean, Curtis?
Yes, I do. I'm just
so if the precious ones are the very purpose for their involvement, the very purpose for their, you know, let's let the sun just go with, you know, and have some super coronal mass ejections of X size that can just, you know, blow away everything. Instead of them being involved in with the very high level energy controllers that are actually visible right now, you can see them actually working their work. We can see many things that are actually doing their pretense, their job, even foreseeing very interesting sights that are happening right now, all pointing toward the same events that are harmonizing, actually coming to a crescendo right now in their expression.
Well, Kathleen writes, "Hello, Michael and Curtis. Again, this is a great thing that you're doing. Thank you, Michael, for what you have achieved in yourself that allows you to do this. Thank you, Curtis, for being there with a platform for Michael to communicate to the celestials. Thank you to all of you who have come in love, with help deliver us from ignorance and confusion. With love and gratitude beyond measure, Kathleen, here are my questions. And she has four questions. What is the purpose of the crop circles? And I'll just do this next one also. Why is it very important that we complete our psychic circles within this lifetime?
Well, let me. Well, you got two questions there.
All right, I'll
answer the first one. It's very, very easy.
Okay.
It's a way of communicating to us. And recently, it's very important that there are those who are also attuned that have been working on the problem of crop circles. And if you go to YouTube and put a search in for crop circles decoded, you'll come up with an individual who has done a correct decoding of the crop circles and has come forth with the explanation for the more recent activity that has been happening around the sun and upon our planet, and how they have embedded within the crop circles knowledge that that they're trying to keep us from being destroyed. In other words, shielding our planet. So if you go again to YouTube and put in a search for crop circles decoded, you'll find an individual that has done a lot of work with decoding that. So there's a level of communication that has been worked on for a while. And as far as completing our circles here, it is one of the places that we can attain all levels of psychic maturity and come to absolutely near perfect union with our love affair with God. And it can be done in one lifetime. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be completed. There are many forces that can hinder us from completing them. But the ultimate thing is that we should start. We should start and start to build inward, ever drawing ever closer, gaining in every circle a greater and greater relational understanding with the truth that is out there, and find it within ourselves, that we will continually be truly beings of divine natures, and having earth origin, but divine, divinely inspired natures through this process of inward journey towards the first source, God fragment within ourselves, the fractal element that is truly God. And that is a big shortcut. One of the things that I noticed about many of the celestials that I encountered, where they were perfectly open and honest, they were simple in many of their aspects of relation. They don't understand the challenges of being in, even as they, many of them are beings of space and time, beings of space and time, having been in a perfect universe, never been tested. We who are in a position of terrible disunification with the rest of the universe, and find unification and find first source through all of this, are truly highly experienced, who become very highly experienced and great consults, great teachers, because of that experience that we gain, and of how each of us in our own way have found greater and greater truth, greater and greater alignment with First Source, ultimately making all circles, and then, of course, ultimately having the glorification of the fusion process taking hold. Now, that's my answer.
Beautiful. And the crop circles are gorgeous.
They're not only gorgeous.
So
I was amazed in seeing the crop circles decoded, and with such a eloquently done video on YouTube.
We'll take a look. Yeah. Crop circles decoded. And Kathleen's, her third question is our DNA being upgraded by energies bombarding Urantia? What other purposes does this energy serve? And then I'll do the last one, number four. Is there going to be a pole shift on Urantia with catastrophic upheavals of land and sea? If so, how are we to prepare for this? Thank you, Kathleen.
Yes. One of the important things when you talk about pole shifts is that they've happened before. Just remember that. They've happened before, they're recorded. They've been doing research here in Hawaii in the lava samples and being able to look at the alignment of magnetic alignment within the cores that they've taken out and found, yes, there have been pole shifts, pole excursions where the magnetic north has moved way off and then moved back. These are various causes for that, for magnetic anomalies. As far as, what was the first question? The third question.
Is our DNA being upgraded by energies bombarding Urantia?
Yeah, this is a challenging thing, is that our DNA is one of the things that I know and has been a problem with the Celestials is that we've been monkeying around with DNA. We have been working with DNA in a way that is not always benign. There are things that can happen in, you know, genetically modified organisms, GMOs, including ourselves. So our DNA is in danger, but the Celestials see it as at one time being rescued and another time being ready for rescue. That the DNA, our DNA, not be perverted by some outer force. It was at one time, and it resulted in what have been talked about and even written about in terms of biblical information as the giants, you know, giants that did come out. Giantism, which was kind of a form of crossbreeding. Right? And DNA itself was fused, other fusion types. But even our DNA right now is a fused version. It's been saved as a version that will be going through a higher level of completion shortly. But we who are living in this present structure of our DNA with its lifespans adjusted to this length are not any less equipped than the future higher level DNA versions, which will have longer lifespans, more highly developed intellect and easier celestial psychic attunement. It will not make us inferior. It doesn't make us inferior, because what we possess is a soul. This transferable medium of our being, our consciousness, not only of our consciousness, but our being, and in a relational relationship which we build between ourselves and God Himself, via the thought adjuster that is implanted within all of us. Now, that is extremely precious relationship, but yes, there will be a higher level of improvement, but it doesn't cause us to feel any less than the future versions. In fact, if we come through and make these correct choices so as to look upon the things that come upon our planet, and instead of hiding ourselves within the systems of our planet, man-made systems, and instead looking within and finding the ultimate truth, we will indeed be found, and we will indeed be translated. And that is probably the best way to work with an unstable planet, because there is a rescue mission. When it will happen, I don't know. And if it will be happening at this, in our lifetime, I don't know. But what is important to know was, what I was instructed, was that the ultimate purpose of us to live our lives is to align our lives with First Source. And by so doing, we will become the ever so precious souls that are looked upon as the very purpose of all of their efforts right now, that is seen. The purpose of keeping our planet from being, go through another extinction cycle, because we are here, and the vast majority of humanity are truly wonderful, splendid beings. This is something worth saving. That's what this is all about. But if we, as beings, turn toward the world system, turn toward the world ways that are not developed, when we're not truly developed by celestials that I were involved with, I was involved with, celestials who are faithful, and you might say faithful and true, never found themselves with experimenting with their own desires apart from the originator of the universe design. These faithful and true, these are the ones that we want to emulate, not necessarily those that are, you might call them rebels. Mm-hmm. Other teachings call them the fallen ones, or the old ones, or fallen angels, but I really don't have too much to do with them.
So you said this rescue mission may not even happen in our lifetime.
We don't know what level that will be held back because essentially they can hold back a tremendous amount of devastation. And right now they're rapidly in the hold back mode, holding back trouble, you know, even perhaps the magnetic or the pole shift, you know. That is something that's phenomenal, you know, when I think about what kind of forces need to be involved in order to allow it to happen or allow it not to happen. It's like truly, truly powerful forces.
Let's just say our planet shifts poles. I suppose the sphere of Earth will just rotate 180 degrees.
No. When you look at an electric motor, it shifts its poles. It's like an armature always shifting its poles. The field stays particular, say. And then there's the rotating field, the AC motor, induction motor, which has a continuously rotating field. Both directions, it pushes itself along. So you don't see, you know. You don't see the pole shift on them, but yet you see the action of it. Very, in a similar
Oh
sense,
yes,
but
that's what I meant.
yeah, you won't see our planet flipping upside down, but you'll see the results of that kind of energetic going on.
And what would that be? I mean,
Oh, dude.
I thought when the pole shifts, it's like you take a magnet, you have a north and south pole on the magnet, and
Right.
you flip one over, all of a sudden the other magnet just either pushes or pulls, repels or pushes,
Right.
repels or pulls.
So there's a lot of memory within our planet in terms of our magnetic material, whether it be ferrous or non-ferrous, but it will get, influenced to various degrees. And one of the things that happens is that you get earthquakes, you get rumblings, and you get weird weather. You get all of these things that we're seeing right now. And will the poles actually shift, or will they just, make an excursion? I don't know. Is it going to be a slow one, or is it going to be a sudden one? One of the things I do know that happens with magnetic fields is that it's easy to make them go from one direction to another. It's the influence of what is creating that magnetic field being influenced. And there's more and more on theory right now that our planet, of course, is generating our magnetic field, not just simply having one like a permanent magnet, but one more closely aligned to an electromagnet. And it would take a lot to change the direction of flow of both electrical and thermal energies in our planet. But it has happened.
So are you saying, well, the universe has to be electrified to hold our planet in its 19.5 degree angle in its orbit? So it sounds to me like if we do have a pole shift, it's not going to be the actual physical Earth itself, it's going to be the electrical magnet field around in our solar system that's going to make us shift. It's the other magnet that makes us shift, not us. Is
Oh
that
yes, an external influence.
Yes, the external influence.
Yeah. Well, that's where Planet X comes in. And it's often blamed for the influence necessary to create a pole shift would have to come from something, and they blame it on Planet X. The observation is very difficult because Planet X or Nibiru has been always spoken of as the unseen one. A dark body. And dark bodies are hard to observe, you know, so many times they have to be observed by their influence on other bodies.
Mm-hmm. Planet
Whether
X is the planet.
Straight or does light move around them or mm-hmm. what happens? And what happens is that there has been some observation recently that have been giving curious, you know, results, questionable as far as the idea that it's, you know, not real. Tendency look to align it to what is the observed. Which is not to see the body, the planetoid body. Understand that it's within certain area, but to understand its influence. Once understanding its influence, then looking for those things that are influenced by it. And one of the things I was educated on was gravity. Gravity, in their explanation, is what makes the planets circle each other and form a, you know, disc-like orbit, and even atomic orbits are not aligned by gravity as we would think of it as a force which draws toward more massive things, but instead it is something quite different, where more closely aligned with, you might say, static electricity. I remember them saying, think static electricity, but it is not. In other words, they're trying to get my mind off of force of gravity.
And they're trying to get your mind into electricity.
Yeah, more into electricity and I guess you might say that if you were to put it down into one simple concept, it would be more electric than massive force.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, a dark body can create, you know, forces and that are, you know, observable, and we are seeing some things right now.
And the Celestials, they agree this planet is on its way here, I believe, every 36,000 years?
3,600 years.
Oh, 3,600,
all right. Zachary Sitchin had decoded, I guess, or translated from the Sumerian accounts. What makes me look at the Sumerian accounts as being probably correct to a degree was having been with these 8-foot giant guys who reminded me strongly of having real human looks, but then again, also looking very much like the accounts of these Anunnakis that were engraved into stone glyphs,
mm-hmm.
and their relationship between a human and themselves in size was about right. You know, I was kind of peeny weeny, small, tiny guy compared to them.
Yeah, well, that's how we all feel when they tower over us.
they never pushed any power over us. It found it much more. Actually, they're much more curious to get more information from the Dano teacher than he was much more willing to teach me than them.
Well, you haven't been around very long.
Yeah, I guess my mind was more of a sponge. They're trying to find out some things and the unfolding of what is happening now than he was willing to say.
Well, what is happening now is very interesting and in the beginning of this hour.
Yes, so just key on to what I've said, basically. Don't try to align yourselves to the systems of this world to save you from a pole shift or things like that. That is not the purpose of our life. If we come down to the fundamental purpose of our life and live it accordingly, so much that he'll via his channels of information fill us with guidance, simple guidance as it may be. I don't trust the systems of this world. I'll use them, but I won't trust them.
All right, well, we'll be absorbing those words this week. Thank you, Michael, and thank you to the Celestials who came on the hour with Michael. It was wonderful having you join us. Do it again. And we'll do this again next week.
Okay.
Okay, Michael.
Aloha.
Aloha.